I'd like to thank everyone for coming today, coming down to Joe Louis Arena for this announcement. Today, after 20 seasons as a player for the Detroit Red Wings, I'm announcing my retirement. Before I get into thanking everyone, I'd like to make a few comments about retiring. Some point in time catches up with everyone and diminishes their ability to perform something you love and care about passionately, comes to an end sooner than what you would have liked. The last 2 years, I waited until after the season was over to assess my ability to play another year. I need to let a few weeks go by to get a reading on my body's ability to recover from the grind of an NHL season. Sadly, this year, it's painfully obvious to me that my strength and energy level are not rebounding enough for me to continue to play. My drive and motivation are not where it needs to be to play at this level. That's why I feel that it's time to retire. I'm aware that some people think that my skills have only diminished some and that I can still help the Wings win games. I truly appreciate their support. When I signed with the Wings back in 91, I never envisioned myself playing for 20 years. It's been a great, great ride. The Red Wings drafted me back in 1989, and hundreds of players and people, coaches, have been part of my success, and I never thought this would ever come to something like this, that I would be able to be part of Stanley Cup championships, winning Norris trophies, and having parades through downtown Detroit, something I never even thought about. I'd like to thank some of the people that are here. I can't thank everyone that I played with and been part of my career. It's press conference is not that long, but I'd like to mention a few people that's been part of my career here with the Detroit. I'd like to start with Mr. and Mrs. I and Chris Illich, the ownership of the Red Wings, for their support over the years, over 20 years, their passion for the game. They're willing to invest and put everything that they have in their product to get something good on the ice and try to win at the end. They've been tremendous owners, great support from me and my family, and I'm truly thankful what they've done for us. I'd like to thank Kenny, Jim Neal, Jimmy DeValano, and Ryan Martin for their support over the years. They've always tried to put a good product on the ice, and they're always telling me that we're going to do whatever we can to win another championship. And Kenny and I have had some what he calls fireside chats where I've told him this probably started maybe 10, 12, 14 years ago that I do have an agent, so I'm not willing to negotiate with you. But he said, this is not a negotiation. We're just going to sit down and chat and talk. And he laid out his game plan and his sales pitch. And, Kenny, it worked every time. You know, I never even wanted to leave Detroit. I always believed in this team and this organization and what they could do to win another Stanley Cup. I'm very thankful for that. I'd like to thank some of the coaches I've had over the years. Starting in Sweden, when I was 16, I moved away from home, and I got a coach named Per Mortz that took care of me and I think started guiding me in the right direction to become a solid hockey player. He now is the coach for the Swedish national team. Kurt Lundmark was another coach that I've had growing up, especially in junior hockey, that guided me as well in the right direction. Ben Gustafson was another coach I had in 2006 Olympics when we had a chance to win the gold medal. He was also a player friend as well when we won the World Championships in 91. I'd like to thank Brian Murray for being my first coach in NHL and kind of getting me in the door and giving me an opportunity to play over here. He partnered with me with Brad McCrimmon my first year, and we played every game together. So I'm very thankful for what Brian did for me early on in my career. Scotty Bowman came in and I think took my game to another level. He gave me a lot of confidence by playing me a lot, getting me out on the ice, and really pushing me to become a better player. And that gave me a ton of confidence to succeed and excel my career and the way I was playing. alongside Dave Lewis and Barry Smith. There were other two that was very important to my career. I think Louis was my assistant coach my first year, actually my first 13 years, and he taught me how to play D, how to be a solid two-way defense, but not just thinking about the offense and being part of the power play, but playing sound defensively in your own zone, not being overly physical, but doing the job to get it done. Mike Babcock coming in, along with Todd McClellan, Paul McClain, and later Brad McCrimmon. I think Babs continued to give me the confidence. He showed me and helped me to become a leader on this team. He put me out in all the key situations that forced me, and that's something I wanted to stay at the level where I wanted to be. I was getting up there in age. I was 36, 37, and I wanted to continue to play at the high level and the top level, and Babs gave me that opportunity. Every night he relied on me and put me out there in situations that I have a chance to succeed in, so I'm very grateful for that. I've had a lot of teammates over the years with the Wings, and you know, starting with some of the alumni that we see every now and again coming through our locker room, Ted Lindsay, Alex Delvecchio, Gordie Howe, guys that if you look around, even in this room, you see a lot of pictures, and we see that in our locker room too, that meant a lot to this organization back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and kind of showed the way to how to play Red Wing hockey. And I think just even for the current players, to have those guys come in, give them an opportunity to talk to them, talk some memories, explain how game was played back then, just have a chance to chit-chat with them, I think is very important. So I'm very thankful to meet some of those older players that's been part of this organization for so many years. I played with some great teammates over the years that's been great friends as well, and the best a player could hope for. Steve Yzerman, you know, Brendan Shanahan, Brett Hull, Luke Robitaille, Igor Larionov, Hasek, Mike Vernon, Chris Osgood, Chris Draper, Maltz, McCarty, Fedorov, Cicerelli. You can go down the list with Hall of Famers, you know, future Hall of Famers. That's been a pleasure for me to play with. You know, they taught me a lot of things that I think you need to get to the level where I wanted to be. I think you need good teammates around you, and they've been that. I have my current teammates. I know some of them are here. Homer, Croner is here. I saw Bert, Abby, Clears is here. A lot of the guys. I might not remember everyone that's here, but the current team, I believe, is a very solid team. We didn't get it done this year because of obvious reasons, but I really like the core group that the Wings have in the locker room right now. I'd like to thank our trainers, Pete Russ, Pauly, JR, Chica, and our doctors. They kind of work in the background. You don't see them a whole lot, but they kind of make everything work. You're hurt, I got your bumps and bruises, but they're taking care of you. I remember a couple years ago, I had a knee surgery in mid-August. So the first day I came back, our doctors had surgery on my knee right away. They took care of me right away. Pete came to my house a couple of days after, started doing rehab, and we're talking mid-August. We're not back in September. We're not back in training camp. They're willing to sacrifice their time for the players to get back on the ice and perform to their best abilities. So I'm very thankful for that as well. You know, from our ownership to all my teammates there, to Al, who takes care of the ice, to Frank, who fills up the fridge with water bottles, to Leslie serving us lunch, all the ushers and people around that you don't see on an everyday basis, but you see them when you come out of the games or when you're here for different events. I want to thank those people too to help me and my family, taking care of our family when they're coming to games, making sure they're comfortable. And you know, Annika's been coming to games with the boys she's been coming over 20 years, and she knows a lot of them personally, and they're very, very nice to my family, and I want to extend my gratitude to them as well. I want to thank media for being real professional to me, and I try to show respect to you. I try to be available as much as I can. Sometimes you can't tell everything that's going on, but I'm sure you understand that you don't want everything to come out, but I try to treat you with respect, and I felt that I got that back from you guys, so I appreciate that. our fans. When I was injured here late in the season, I had watched a few games up in the press box, and when you're sitting up there, you get a better feel of when you're closer to the fans to feel how passionate they are. You're on the ice, you're in the heat of the moment, you're focused on the game, and you can hear the fans, but you're so focused on what you're doing on the ice. But when you're up in the stands or up in the press box, and you can feel how passionate they are. We're very fortunate as a team and as players to have those fans behind us. And we've seen them during the parades and different charity events that we have as a team. Fans are a big part of this organization, I think a big part of Hockeytown. To my family, and I have Annika and my three boys here, Samuel, Lucas, and Adam. My son Kevin is over in Sweden. He'll be here in a couple of days, so he can make it out here today. But I'd like to thank my family, and especially Annika, for raising four boys. It's not easy when you have a husband that's not home all the time, that's not doing a 9-to-5 job, that's coming home and being there to take the kids to their activities, you know, their events. There's homework. There's dinners to be made. But Annika's been doing all that, and she's been amazing. Though she's an amazing woman. I take a lot of pride in what I've done here over the last 20 years. I take a lot of pride in how hard I work, how I prepare for games, representing my country in different Olympics or World Championships, and representing Detroit, not just the Red Wings, but the city itself too. We see a lot of fans when we travel around North America, and you know, they're showing us great respect. So I take a lot of pride in being a Red Wing, but also being a player that comes from Detroit. It's not that the tank is completely empty. It just doesn't have enough to carry me through every day at that high level where I want to play at. My family and I are completely comfortable with this decision. Retiring today allows me to walk away from the game with pride rather than having the game walk away from me. So thank you very much.
Mr. Ilitch.
I want to thank everybody for coming out for this press conference. As I look around, you can see it's one of the most emotional days in Red Wing history, with Nick retiring and all you people showing your respect for such a high-quality individual. Nick has been a rock of Gibraltar. He has just been a solid leader. The word perfect come up, and I'm saying, hey, let's not get carried away here. Nobody's perfect, but more time that you spend with them, more time you spend with the team as a group, you see how things go and you get a chance to witness his leadership, and always right there. No variations. Get out there, get the job done, and be a professional. Be a human being, be a good citizen. Don't do things that will hurt your reputation, hurt your team. He doesn't come out and say these things. He says some of them. But by the leadership aspect, it's all cohesive. It all becomes a part of you because of the standards and what he stands for. I'd like to thank Jim Nill and Christian Rockstone I got his name, Rockström, right, Nick?
Rockström, yeah.
Yeah. He's our Swedish scout, and he played a big role in allowing us to have Nick here. And Holmstrom, one of my buddies, I want to acknowledge Jimmy Neal because he's built a great scouting staff and done a great job. Kenny and I have talked a lot about this day. What are we going to say? How are we going to honor Nick? And I said, well, I'll tell you what, Kenny. I'll say a few words because he can talk all afternoon. So I'm going to turn it over to somebody that just is the meat of this franchise from a standpoint of done a marvelous job over the years. He's probably rated as the number one. We got the number one hockey player, and we got the number one general manager in hockey and vice president. Kenny, take over.
Thank you all for coming. Just a few words. First off, I guess I've been dreading this day since I became manager in 1997. I think I speak on behalf of the entire Red Wing organization in congratulating Nick first on an incredible career. It's a Hall of Fame career. Thank you for 20 incredible years of service to our organization, to our city. When you think about Nick, for me, it's about class. Everything that he did was first class, treated the game with respect, treated his teammates with respect, attention to detail, come to the rink every day. He was the best player in practice. I think, and I speak on behalf of coaches that I've worked with, Scotty and Louie and Babs, we always use the word, Nick's no maintenance. The only time Nick is in the coach's office or the manager's office is when we call Nick in to ask him things about the team and how we can get better. You basically, when the season starts, you give Nick the schedule, and Nick is there, and it's an attention to detail day after day after day after day. He's been an incredible role model. And, Nick is going to go down, in my opinion, I've had the luckiest seat in the House for 15 years. Since 1997, I've had a front row seat in the press box to watch Nick play. I think he's been the most valuable player of his era. He's going to go down in history as one of the greatest Red Wings of all time, one of the greatest defensemen of all time. I was just 10-time first-team All-Star, 2-time second-team All-Star, 7 Norris trophies, Conn Smythe trophy, 4 Stanley Cups. I mean, what words can you use to describe an incredible career? Nick played both ends of the rink. I think what makes Nick so great is, he was a first-team All-Star defensively. He was a first-team All-Star offensively in every situation in the game, late in the minute, late in the game down by a goal, late in the game up by a goal. He was a guy that we looked to. Nick played the game with grace. A fierce competitor. I don't think Nick is so stoic you don't see it, but, getting to, and a great card player. In those fireside chats we used to get into, I'd do a lot of talk, and I didn't get much response there. I wasn't sure if I was getting through, but he obviously remembered the fireside chats. Nick's been an incredible role model for our team, for our city, for all the young players, all the young Red Wings out there, and our team and our game is losing a tremendous ambassador today. I want to wish Annika, Nick, Kevin, Luke, Adam, Sam, the very best in your next chapter, and thank you for 20 incredible years.
We'll open it up for a Q&A. Please raise your hand so we can get the microphone to you.
I'm Mats Larsson with the Swedish daily newspaper Expressen. I have a couple of questions from our readers that was just sent in. What is your finest memory as a hockey player? And what will you tell all the fans that will now start begging you for a comeback?
my fondest memory. They're hard to choose from when you had a chance to win four Stanley Cups. I remember the first one very close because it happened here at the Joe. It happened with, you know, I think we're up 2-0 in game four against Philly, and they score with, is it 10 seconds left or something, to make it 2-1, and it's very tight game. You had a chance to win the Stanley Cup at home ice, and the puck goes down in our corner, and I'm out there with Vladdy Konstantinov, and you're just hoping that you can keep the puck in the corner. He falls on it, and we're all just waiting for the buzzer to go, and that feeling when that buzzer goes, the arena went nuts, the crowd went nuts, the players went nuts. We've been waiting, the city's been waiting 40 some years for it, and that moment when you're winning it all, and you know, all the players are you know, hugging your goalie, we're all celebrating, that moment is something special. And it happened on other occasions too. It happened in Washington, it happened here again in 02. But I think the first one is special because it took us a long time to get there. We reached the finalists in 95. I think we only lost two games going to the finalists. We felt very good about ourselves going in, and then we lost four straight. And it's a big blow to the team when you feel you're up on such a high and you lose four straight games. We come back in the 95-96 season. We have a record season, I believe, 62 wins that year. And we lose out to Colorado in the conference finals. So we're so close for 2 years, and then finally breaking out in 97, winning the cup, and then being able to match it the following year and winning it in 98. That's something that I probably cherish the most, that 97 win. As far as coming back, I feel very comfortable with my decision. Like I said earlier, I needed to get away from the game or for a few weeks to kind of let my body heal and not get too emotional about making a decision. But once Annika and I started talking, you know, she even said that, you know, if you want to play another year, we can make this work. So she wasn't pushing me to play, but she said she was all for it if I wanted to do it. So I think it took me another couple of weeks after that to realize that, you know, I don't have what I feel I have to have to play at my level. I don't want to lose that, I want to say status, but that level of play that I've reached. And I think that's the main reason why I'm retiring today.
Nick, do you plan to reunite the family in Sweden and move back there? And what do you think you'll do with your time career-wise if there's another thing you have in mind?
Yes, the plan is that we're going to move back to Sweden. We've always liked it here. That hasn't been the case. I've been here for 20 years, and 21 years actually, and this has become our second home, but we want to be close to our family. We have our parents, the kids' grandparents are getting older. We want to be close to our family. We've always been close to them, so we want to be close to them. As far as next career move, you know, Kenny and I have had some discussions about the future, and I've told him that, you know, would like to remain with the organization somehow. We haven't really talked much past that, so that might be a question for Kenny, but it's been brought up in our discussions.
Nick, right down the center aisle here, Tom Lydon, WXYZ. A question about your legacy and how you view it. You'll go down as one of the greatest hockey players ever, but as you were on the ice for 20 years, what were you envisioning? What was your wish of what your legacy would be?
You know, I'm going to leave that up to other people to decide. I'm very proud of what I've accomplished. I didn't set out goals to play 20 years, first of all. I first came over in 91, and I thought I was going to play a few years and kind of get a feel of the NHL. I had no other, you know, visions of what I was going to be doing, how long I was going to be doing this. But once you reach success, you want a taste of it again. And I think that goes for all the players that's been there before, that had a chance to win something together. You know, you battle for 6 months in the regular season to just get to the playoffs, and then you have two hard months of really playing with determination to reach the goal. So I think once you reach that goal, you want to get back there again. And that's been one of the things that's been driving me all these years. I never set up goals to win a Norris Trophy, for an example. I've set up goals for myself to reach a certain level. And if that happened to win me a Norris, I would be very happy with it. But That's never been a goal of mine. So I think that the driving force has always been to play at my best, but to win at the end. Just have a chance to hoist that cup. Even this last summer we talked about maybe just one more time. I like to hoist that one more time, and that's what's been driving me.
Rachel Lindsay from the Toledo Blade. Looking back on your career, when you were working with younger players who came through the Detroit Red Wings system, what did you want to impress on those guys as far as sustaining their career and being contributors and being potential leaders?
Well, when I came in and joined the Wings, Steve Eisen was the captain. We had great players around him, but Stevie was our leader. And what I've learned from him over the years is his work ethic. He never took anything for granted. He worked hard, whether it's on the ice in practice or in the gym afterwards. And when you see a player like that, and one of the leaders and one of the best players in the world do that, it's easy for young guys to follow. So that's something that I try to do as well, that you try to work hard, you try to do things right, and good things will happen for you. So I think that's been my message to the players, that the work ethic is so important. If you don't have that, if you have all the skill in the world, you only got to get to a certain point. You're not going to get all the way. You might get lucky the odd time, but that work ethic along with that skill, that's what sets players apart. And once you do that, determination comes into play. You keep doing it day after day, and you become good at it, that determination takes over. You're starting to push yourself even more. So I try to be that player. I haven't been a real vocal leader. I've talked to guys kind of on the side, and of course I've talked in the locker room as well, but I try to lead on the ice and by example. And that's something I learned, especially from Stevie. And that's something I tried to help the younger players with.
Nick, Matt Shepard, WDFN Radio. You talked about the impact the players of Red Wing lore have had on you, like Howe and Lindsay coming into the locker room. With no Steve Yzerman, with no Brendan Shanahan, with no Nick Lidstrom being around, does it concern you at all that future Red Wings won't have that same impact from Hall of Famers like you and some of your teammates?
No, I'm not concerned about that, because we have those leaders in our room now that are emerging as leaders. You can look at a player like Zetterberg that I think he took over in the playoffs. He was our best player by far in the playoffs, and that determination really came out in the playoffs. He's one of the guys. Pav is another guy. You can go down to Cronwall, who emerged as a leader this season. He got awarded the A. I thought he stepped his game up, but he stepped his game up in the locker room too, where, you know, not you don't see it as media as much, or the fans don't see it, but in the locker room, players see that. Players recognize when someone does that, and those are players that's going to be very important to this team. So I've seen those guys emerge as leaders even before, you know, this season, even you know, heading into next year. Those guys are going to be the guys that's going to be important to the team. We still have character guys like Cleary, Bertuzzi, some guys that's been part of the league for a long time and have that experience. But when you have the top end players work hard and have that determination, that's going to spread out, and the younger guys are going to follow, and the other players are going to follow as well.
Nick, just curious, when did it start to dawn on you that this might be it? Did the injury play a factor late in the season, and how much did you have to think about it once the season ended?
No, the injury didn't have anything to do with it. It did slow me down once I came back. I didn't feel like I came up to the standard I wanted to play, and I think that was part of it. The level of play in the playoff gets up a notch, and I don't think I responded well, but I think that injury slowed me down to where I couldn't play where I wanted to play. But having said that, that didn't sway me one way or the other. I think it, like I said, a couple of weeks after the season was over, you're starting thinking about, you start working out, first of all. You start doing the things that you do to prepare for long summer workouts and summer with staying in shape. And once I started doing that, I felt that I didn't have that push that I know I need, that I've had in the past, that I've had going into last summer, for an example, and that I knew I just didn't have that drive in me. And I knew that, first of all, I can't cheat myself. I can't not work out as hard as I want to, do the things I know I have to do, and if I cheat myself and come back and not play at the level I want to play at, that's, I think that's on me, and that's something I don't want to do. So that's why I decided to make this decision.
Nick, Woody Woodruff from Fox 2 here in Detroit. You talk about your family, but talk about this team as a family. Does that make it that much harder today, knowing that these guys are basically a bunch of brothers in the same room?
Yeah, it does. You know, we all joke about it. We almost spend more time with each other than with our wives, where we're in the locker room almost daily. We travel together. We're going out for dinners, and so we're a very tight group. And it's, I think that's something I'm going to miss, just that camaraderie that you have, whether it's in the locker room, whether you're on the road, you're going out for dinners. Just the camaraderie I think I'm going to miss a lot. And it's something special. I think it's hard to find that somewhere else, maybe in the I want to say real world, but in the work world where you might not have the same camaraderie, you're not hanging out as much as you do. So that's going to be hard. And we do have a great group of guys that we take care of each other, we help each other, and I think that's what makes this group so special.
Mike Stone, 97.1 The Ticket. Nick, have you even thought about the possibility of pulling a Peter Forsberg, coming back halfway through the season or towards the playoffs if the team needs you? And has the alumni hit you up to be on the roster for the Winter Classic alumni game yet?
No, I haven't been approached by the alumni game, and I haven't even given it much thought. So that's something I haven't thought a whole lot about. I haven't thought about doing a half season either, where you try to come back halfway through the year. I feel very comfortable with my decision. Something I thought about for a couple of weeks now. Ken and I had our talk last week, and he told me, give it the weekend, give it a long weekend. And he got back to me a few days ago, and I said, it's decision is still the same. So I feel very comfortable with my decision.
Hey, Nick, Jeff Rieger, 97.1 The Ticket. Just wondering, you talked about the moments and that were special to you. What about the accolades? You never talked about them when you were playing, but from the Norrises to the Conn Smythe to the gold medal, the cups, what meant the most to you?
First of all, I feel very fortunate to be able to be part of a lot of success with the Wings, with Team Sweden. I've always taken a lot of pride in wearing the yellow and blue jersey and representing your country, and getting a chance to win that Olympic gold in Italy was something special, something that the whole country gets up for, and you know the whole country's is cheering for you. So getting a chance to win that was something special. My first Norris was special too. It was in 2001, and I remember Ray Bourque was one of the nominees, and we were sitting there before the award show started, and he's telling me, you're going to win this for a landslide. You're going to win this easy. It's going to be yours for sure. And I'm looking at Ray Bourque, and he's one of the players I looked up to over the years when he played in the 80s and the 90s, and he's telling me I'm going to beat him out and win the Norris. So the first one was special. 02, that season was special too, just because of the team we had. We had a bunch of Hall of Famers and future Hall of Famers. We lost the first two games here at home against Vancouver, and the pressure was really on, but Stevie, being the great captain that he was, just came in and told us that, just play with confidence. We're a good team. We know we're a good team. So we just got to go out there and play with confidence. We won the next four games and went on to win the Stanley Cup that year. And I was awarded Conn Smythe and the Norris Trophy that season. So that season sticks out as well. 08 was special, being the captain and being handed the Stanley Cup from the commissioner, and getting a chance to be the first one to hand the cup to Mr. I, and being real proud about it. So it's hard to pick one over the other. I've been so fortunate that I've been part of so many things that it's hard to pick one or the other.
When they announced the Winter Classic, did that give you any pause at all to think about, whoa, that many people and that big of a stage, just maybe one more year?
Sure, when you're there, when you're at the big house, you're walking out of the tunnel and you see the stadium, you see where the rink's going to be, and you can just imagine the feeling of walking out there in front of over 100,000 people. It's going to be special, but it wasn't big enough to sway me over to play another year. I think it's going to be special for the players that are going to be part of it. They're going to be, be so thrilled about getting a chance to play, first of all, in front of that big of a crowd, but kind of setting a a milestone too, being part of something like that. But it didn't convince me to play another year.
Nick, we've heard ex-athletes have trouble filling the void, the competitive void, once they've retired. How will you fill that void? Do you have any idea yet?
Well, I do have four sons that are all playing hockey and doing other sports. I'm going to be busy taking my kids to different activities. I'm usually a quiet parent sitting up in the stands and not screaming and yelling, but I'm sure when you're not playing yourself, it might change. So I know I'm going to be busy with the kids and helping out.
Nick, Ryan Field, Fox Sports Detroit, the captain C on the Red Wings jersey, such a big deal in this town for obvious reasons. Will you have a say in who becomes the next captain? Who do you think should be the next captain, and how much of a say do you want to have in that decision?
I might get asked about my opinion of it, but I think, you know, the coaching staff and management will find a very good captain for this team. I think there's a few candidates that are very fit to fill that role. I think Zetterberg has been a leader for a few years. Cronwell, I mentioned, emerged as a leader. I think Phil Pelai is one of the players. I think there's a lot of leaders that don't wear necessarily a letter on their jersey, but they're leaders in our room. And I think one of those players will wear the C for sure.